All right, welcome back. This is a very, very special episode of Voice Podcast Training with your co-host Jan Jansen and myself, Scott Patton. We have a very special guest with us today, Shane James. So welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're at the beautiful, what is the name of this hotel?
We are at the Sheraton Wall Center in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
That's right. And we're here at the Maple Financial Conference, who have the number one speakers on how to create wealth. And what we thought just to be kind of interesting was give you our impressions of these speakers and some of the things that they talked about and some of the lessons that we got out of speaking with them. So we're actually in the dining room, in the quietest spot we could find during a break as we do this. So they had about six or seven or maybe even eight speakers throughout the day. We haven't seen all of them. There's still one or two to go. But the first two were a couple of Olympic, they were the Olympic gold medal champions in Paris in,
actually, it was the Winter Olympics in 2002, and I think it was in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City.
That's right. Yeah. So it was Jamie Savoy in, in Paris. It was the the skating champions, Jamie Savoy and David Peltier.
You're right. The 2002 Winter Olympic figures gold medal winners. And they were the people that started off the day, and I thought, well, first of all, Jan, what was your impression of them?
Well, you know, Scott, it was really interesting because you don't very often see a couple actually do speaking together and do it as well, I think, as they did it. First of all, they're now husband and wife. That's always, I don't know if I want to go there, but that's always kind of a dangerous situation to be in right away, because it seems like, you know, I know when I was married, you never got to finish any sentence. You didn't get to finish a story. You know, you were doing well if you got to finish a sentence.
Well, there was the odd time when they took a shot at each other.
They did, right? Yeah. But they did a really good job of how they handled it, because you could tell they really were prepared in how they did it.
They were very well prepared.
They didn't wing it. Remember, we talked about that. They did not wing it.
That's right. One of the things that I liked was the balance of humor and tragedy.
Yes.
Because anyone that's going for a goal at that level, that high athletic level, runs into challenges and things that are difficult. And when they were talking about going to the plane and just everything that went wrong that got in their way of actually getting to where the championship was going to be held, to the Olympics, and it was just an amazing story in and of itself. And then that was kind of the tragedy of it, but there were also very humorous parts of it as well, and I thought they mixed that up very
nicely. They did a good job, not only speaking in the way they did, but also in their blend of bringing the lessons. And again, they used to see the stories, which we've talked about in our podcast. They used the stories to teach the lessons. I kept the stories fun, impactful, and totally appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was a great way to start the day off. It was very inspirational, and kind of, even though the host didn't set the frame so well, as a known speaker, and we'll speak, talk about him after, but I think those two, their story set the frame well for the rest of the audience.
I agree. So was there anything that you would have recommended to improve their talk?
No, you know, I really liked them. They were one of my favorites.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I felt that they were a little bit nervous up there, which is probably understandable, and I thought they were kind of kept to their script a little bit more. The parts I enjoyed the most was when they kind of ad-libbed a little bit and sort of went a little bit off where they...
I think that comes down to a lot, Scott, that when you are working that closely and you are in such a tight time frame, you start deviating, and that's when you really get into trouble. So I think they probably,
it was probably
the way it had to be. So the next guy was David Craig.
Yes, and he turns Wall Street into your own personal gold mines. He talks about investment decisions and the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always an interesting topic. What I liked about him was his interaction with the audience. I thought he asked great questions of the audience. His pace was excellent, because we talked about the four P's. The pace, he varied his tone. He would talk softly when he really, and then he would start yelling and screaming. So he varied his presentation a lot, I thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think what disappointed me the most was after he had sold his thing, and he did, you know, a fairly strong close, but what just totally lost it for me when people were moving to the back, and those who weren't, he really started into the threats and making you feel guilty, and so don't you want to become wealthy? And I just really believe, you know, I think one of the things my mother told me is you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's so much more empowering to really show people the gain rather than to make them feel guilty. And so, because I think that's when you get a lot of buyer's remorse after
right.
that. So he had done a great presentation. And I think to still be nattering at us and then really getting into almost like threatening and menacing at the end, that's how I just personally felt.
Right.
It didn't make me feel comfortable.
Right.
And yet he had built a really good relationship over the
Before hour and a half that
he'd been on stage.
Yeah, that's funny, because I actually tuned all of that right out. You were listening to it, and I was just kind of like, sound like noise in the background to me. Shane?
I don't know if you remember when I said to you, Scott, listen to this guy. He's still going on and on.
Right.
And we'd already been talking with each other for about 10, 15 minutes, and everyone was mingling, and he was still going.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've never seen that before.
No, I've never seen this whole conference. I've never seen where the speaker is finished, done. People are now signing up, and the speaker still is going on with the microphone on. I've personally never seen that. I've attended a lot of conventions, and I've never seen it like that.
Okay.
So we don't have a lot more time. So do you want to just talk about some of the other highlights? I think Raymond Aron was just fabulous.
Yes, Raymond Aron. He was talking about real estate, maximizing your profit, the real estate whiz. He had a great presence up there. He was very animated, lots of hand movement, very funny stories that were related to the message that he wanted to tell. He had a good interaction with the audience. He had a great promise, which really drew everybody in. It was like, you know, if you can tell the future, you know, what's going to happen to that house, if it's going to double in price or not, and I can show you how to do that. I mean, he just had me right there, like, yeah. Shane, anything you want to add?
I really thought he was good on the clothes.
Very strong.
Yes, very strong, and I think he set the whole kind of tone for himself and then the speakers to follow, because I mean he was just really up a level on the clothes.
Yeah,
right,
he was. I think the biggest thing that I really admired about him was the fact that he had one thing he was there to teach us, and that was buy low, sell high.
Yes, that was correct.
That was, and what he proved time and time and time again was that people will say, I buy low, sell high, and in fact, they don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He caught me about four times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And so that was fascinating, because at the end, you were now getting it, and so you felt like you had learned from him. Like,
yes.
I learned more. I mean, I grew up, Scott, with a father who sold real estate. I have sat through more real estate talks than you can imagine. I've done lots of the training. I learned more in Raymond Aron's hour and a half on how the market works.
Yeah.
That says something, right?
Yeah.
So he did a great job, which would make you want to buy his stuff, because he really did give the information.
Yeah. Okay, the next speaker we're going to talk about was Lynn Adler, and he's an eBay expert. So, one of you want to start?
I found it very boring. I found that.
I guess it started with something good, which is why I wasn't going to say anything.
I mean, what good can I honestly say in it? He didn't work the stage well. His tones didn't fluctuate. His eye contact with the audience was not good at all.
You need to listen to our podcast, Lynn.
Yes.
It's the only hope for you.
Yeah.
Triple your sales.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think what I really what bothered me was that it was just one long infomercial.
Yeah.
So
that's right. I turned to you and I said, I don't think we've learned. It feels like he's selling
from the very beginning. And whereas the other speakers had taught us, and yes, we knew we were going to be sold to. However, they had given us really good value, and I just didn't feel. Again, we've talked about it. You've got to give good value.
Yeah. I felt that he first of all, on the good side, he told some good stories. There were some times when he had the audience laughing, the participation. The problem I felt was he focused way too much on the details, the minutiae, and the features, and not enough on the benefits. What if you could get lease a car and have the lease payment paid for free, $500 a month? Oh, okay, yeah, and then look at this beautiful car. Well, you can get that by doing this on eBay. But it wasn't like that. It was like, okay, you can make an extra $200 or $300 a month. Well, all the other speakers are talking about making extra millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So the juxtaposition just wasn't right. Right.
Yeah.
The other problem, on a more technical level, as a techie type guy, his background of his PowerPoint was white. When you're in a large room,
White gives off a lot of reflected light. It tires the eyes. It tires the audience, draws the energy down. And I noticed my eyes were getting sore looking at his presentation. Backgrounds need to be dark. The letters need to be white in order for you to not put your audience to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I want to say, though, about PowerPoint presentations that I've never seen this done again because I'm not a big fan of PowerPoint, is David Gray, our first speaker. What he did is when he was about to make a point, he actually turned off the PowerPoint, and then he would talk to you. And so instead of you being focused on reading, because that's what I always do. I mean, I'm a speed reader, so I just read it, and then right. I'm not listening. He turned it off. I've never seen anybody do that. And I thought it was a very effective use if you're going to use PowerPoint.
I thought that was terrible because I thought it was a technical problem.
Right, and he kept on doing it.
And he kept on doing it. I didn't know it was him doing it. I thought, oh, my goodness, they've got a problem here, right? Which took me right out of the presentation.
Ah, okay.
So it was kind of interesting.
And I thought that was interesting.
our second last one was Dan Burham, the fellow that just finished. And he talks about his International Association of Investors. And he started off so slow that Jan left the room and talked to her friend for the whole presentation. And
I have nothing to say.
Shane and I thought, where's Jan? Did she left or what?
But I did the bus home, Scott. There you go.
After about 10 or 15 or 20 minutes, I'm not sure when, he picked right up. And all of a sudden became engaging and interesting. And I don't know if he started off tired or what the problem was, but he told some great stories. He had a lot of really good humor. He used the audience. One thing I liked is he used the audience and he pulled them into the story as well.
Yeah.
And there were some interesting things that I got out of what he talked about, like phrases like generational wealth, being able to go back and help your folks out if they're not really wealthy, or going and your grandkids never have to worry about their mom having a hole in the stocking or something. I thought that was really good. Desire, deserve, do was a phrase that I wrote down and put on my computer. I thought that was excellent, right?
But think about it. He lost me.
Yeah.
He lost me because I had a friend show up, hadn't seen her for a few years. We were both bored out of our minds. It's been a long day. We've been going since 8 o'clock. It's now almost, 4:30.
Yeah.
And I just said, hey, do you want to go have a tea outside? And we did, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, Scott, introductions, right?
That's right. Introduction is so important, and he had a very poor one. But we were outside the room, actually. There was nothing pulling us in.
Yeah.
We just ran out of things to talk about, and I just said, we're going to go sit down, right?
I think he grew on you a little bit as you watched him more of with some of the jokes and just his humor. I found that he was very confident on stage.
Yeah.
And he was he really didn't give a crap what he said at all. And, they say the speakers that make it get on stage and they're just themselves.
Yeah.
They don't care. Those are the guys that make it the best.
Yeah.
And that's what he really did.
Yeah, he unfortunately had to take some time to warm up. So our recommendation, Don, if you ever hear this, is go in the back room and start your speech a half an hour before you get on stage, because really, he was very good after he started connecting with everybody. I don't know what it was. It just seemed like it was very hard for him to connect. And profit follows passion. I thought that really was brilliant. Bill Rancic, the fellow from The Apprentice, has been the host.
MC.
I don't know. Is he going to actually do a presentation himself?
I hope so. I'd love to hear him.
Yeah. So, your impressions of Bill?
Bill in The Apprentice was great. I mean, you could see his passion. You could see him wanting it. You could just see a whole different character. Here today, he's either just here for the money or for exposure, but there's no passion in what he's doing. He's just kind of getting up there, and he's just speaking from the words, and he's not, pumping the speakers up and setting the frame very well. So, I mean, on The Apprentice, totally loved the guy. Here, I don't know, there's no passion there.
Yeah, no, that's how I feel.
So here's the thing, and Bill, if you're ever listening to this, you need to learn how to structure an introduction. You find out things from the people that you're going to be introducing. Something that's interesting that nobody would really know, like they like to maybe hike in the woods, or they're a world-renowned painter of roses or something, and something that just really makes people go, wow,
I want to get to know this person.
And then at the end, you don't tell them names, and at the end you say, ladies and gentlemen, a warm Vancouver welcome, or whatever city you're in, in four, and you really get them the audience pumped up, because when that happens, it pumps the speaker up. The speaker performs 25 to 50% better than they would if you don't. And basically, and then when you're finished, you jump up there and you say, wasn't that a great talk from whoever it was, and give them a good rousing, you know, a round of applause as they go. Gets the whole room involved, everybody moving, everything else. You just don't go up there and say, all right, our next speaker is Jan Jansen. Come on up, Jan, see you later, and walk down. One last point, you never cross the speaker. When the speaker comes from stage left, you leave stage right. And what happened a lot was the speaker would come up, maybe going up the stairs as you're going down the stairs, and there's a confusion
of energy. And right there, the host should never leave the stage until the speaker's on stage.
Well, yeah.
And should welcome them.
Yeah, okay. You're there to welcome them up.
Absolutely.
Not to send them into the lion's den.
That's right.
Okay, so Bill, great job on The Apprentice. Need to work a little bit more on your introductory skills. And finally, last but not least, I think probably if there's anyone that's kind of a favorite speaker, and if you're in the want to get in the speaking business, this guy is the master. We're talking about T. Harv Eker, the New York Times best-selling author, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. So, Jan?
Well, Harv's been a mentor of mine for over 6 years now. So, Scott, that's who took my training, public speaking training, to a whole another level several years ago. And I would say, you know, it was fun to see Harv today.
It was.
And I've heard that presentation he's done, I don't know how many times. I practically know what he's going to say next. That's how many times I've heard it, and I still listen with rapt attention.
Yeah.
And I think what Harv did that nobody else did is he got the audience involved and moving. And there's a big difference between getting an audience involved and getting an audience involved and moving. So what he did is he had us stand up, he had us put our hand on our chest, he had us doing declarations, he had us doing high fives, and people go, oh my God, that's really hokey. Well, you know, as Harv says, you can be hokey and rich, or you can be cool and broke.
That's right.
And you know, there's very few people on this planet who make as much money as Harv does every single weekend.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars. So he knows something about it. He's passionate.
Yeah. His enthusiasm is contagious for sure. Shane?
Well, if you watch Harv, he's very similar on stage to somebody even like Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, and those guys, because what they're doing is they're combining entertainment and education together.
Yeah.
And that's what is making their programs powerful. And really, if you don't combine education and entertainment together, the programs just are not near as much powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch the audience when Harv was on stage, and there was a whole new energy in that room because of the way he was teaching. So it's not what you teach, it's how you teach.
Also, don't forget, Harv was up after lunch. So that's the toughest time.
Mm-hmm.
That is the time when you cannot afford to be the least bit low-key. And he did something that nobody else did. He gave away his program for free. We all came away with a gift. We all got a copy of his book with tickets to his event to the tune of $2,500, right? So
he enrolled everybody in the room.
Was that good marketing? Hey, I know that event that Harv got everybody enrolled in, he makes millions and millions at that.
Yeah.
So people say, he gave away a book. Yeah, he gave away a book and...
And a weekend, and a three-day seminar.
A three-day seminar.
Yeah. I've known Harv for four or five, maybe, it could even be 6 years, I don't really know. I'd have to think about it. Gone to a lot of his trainings. I've seen that presentation many times. And I'm just looking at the notes. I made notes on everyone, right? And I'm looking at my notes with Harv, and I've got high interaction, audience participation, good pace. And then the rest of it is all stuff that he has said, and I've heard many times, that I'm writing money blueprint, create my life. You know, I'm making notes on what he's saying, not notes on how he's saying it. So that was, that just gives you an idea
of how much he gets. He truly does work. He truly works. I mean, he was perspiring up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when
we turned to each other and we said, his shirt's drenched.
That's right. Okay, so you think of a lot of people, they kind of stand there and it's like, well, they don't want to get their suit wrinkled. They don't want to work up a sweat. Harv was sweating within 5 minutes of being up on stage.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's working. He's putting his energy. Because, of course, we know Harv's favorite line is, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If you're not going to get up on stage and do it well and give it your all, then think twice about why you want to be there.
Yeah. And afterwards, I went up to Harv and got him to sign the book for me. And he looks at me and says, Scott, hey, how are you doing? Remembered me from 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, right? And I said, yeah, I'll be seeing you at the Millionaire Mind. Great. And Shane went up, introduced themselves, and it was just great. I mean, there he is, a very approachable fellow.
He is a great, great man. Awesome.
And he may actually be on one of our other podcasts, because I asked him if I could do a podcast with him on marketing. So he said, call my media person and we'll find out. So
there you go.
Do it set of time. So
good. If I say something, it means one thing. But if you say it, it means everything. Yes, yes. So how many of you are going to participate 100% today? Anybody not? We'll see. And just for the record, how many of you would raise your hand no matter what I ask you? Come on, we're out there. All right, good job. All right. Hey, let me ask you a question. Can I? Do you mind if I challenge you a little bit today?
Sure.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Very cool. Well, thank you both very much for taking the time out of your busy, busy day to do this podcast. And we appreciate our audience listening in and taking your valuable time out of your day to join us. Jan, would you like to let everybody know your website?
www.janjansen.com, J-A-N-J-A-N-Z-E-N, or Z-E-N for those in the States. And if they put a / podcast, there is still the free report, 10 Mistakes That Entrepreneurs Make That Cost Them Time and Money.
Yeah, make sure you get that free report.
Yeah, because it isn't going to be up there for much longer.
No, so. That's right. And Shane, thank you very much for joining us.
Great, thank you.
And this is Scott Patton, and you can find out more about our podcast. Head over and leave some comments. Let us know what you think about it. We appreciate those of you that have left comments. You can actually record a comment there if you want as well. And it is
podcastvoicetraining.com.
And Jan always wants to make sure I get that right, so we decided she's going to say it from now on.
Podcastvoicetraining.com. Thanks a lot. We better get back because we still got another speaker.
Great. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.